Our reading this week is taken from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She'd heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garments. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Thanks be to God for the reading of his word. Amen.
As you will have guessed by now, I'm very much drawn to the stories in the Bible that highlight human experience. The Bible is a rich resource of different kinds of literature written under different circumstances and conditions, and of course at very different points in history. There's poetry, genealogy, song, narrative, allegory. It's not a coherent beginning to end kind of document. One part does not necessarily flow seamlessly into another, and neither is it meant to. As a whole, the Old and New Testaments are a rich tapestry of human experience. There's political reference, suffering, injustice. There's struggle and pain. There are miracles and hope, and of course, as we know, resurrection. Whatever our background or belief somewhere in those historical narratives, we'll find records of other people's experiences which will resonate with our own lives even in 2021, and which are both relevant and revelatory. I confess to sort of indulging myself today, because today's reading is actually a personal favourite because it speaks so powerfully of what it means to be human. In my years working in mental health, sometimes I encountered people who were badly damaged by their experience of religion and whose belief had been undermined or shaped in an unhealthy way by other Christians. If appropriate, this was one story that I sometimes turn to, because for people struggling or for people simply getting to grips with faith, this is a story with an important message and lesson. I'm not interested so much this morning in Jairus' daughter, but in the experience of the woman in the crowd. And it's a story of two parts, simple but profound, with the human perspective on one hand and the divine response on the other. So to start first of all with the human. What made this woman go searching for Jesus? It might have been faith, but equally and understandably, I suspect it was more to do with courage that was fueled by desperation, superstition, or self-preservation. This was somebody who had exhausted every option available to her and who had nowhere else to turn for help. When you have nothing left to give in life, you have nothing left to lose. Religious law at that time would have deemed the woman unclean. She would have been restricted in where she was allowed to go, the people she was allowed to mix with, even what she was allowed to touch or who she was to come into contact with. To have lived under those circumstances for years was effectively to live life under a sentence, with no freedom and with no authority or autonomy. But when everything else had failed, this woman chose to break the religious protocols that would have prevented her from being amongst people in a public place, and she negotiated her way through the crowds, taking courage in both hands, and she reached out and she touched the hem of what Jesus was wearing. In actual fact, the Hebrew word means not hem, but tassel, as in the tassel on a Jewish prayer shawl. There were no prayers, no fancy words, no liturgy, no bargaining with God, no discussion, no promises made, no promises kept. Nothing more than a courageous reaching out in desperation and in hope. The gospel writers tell us that that was all she needed to do. She simply had to reach out, and in the most fleeting of contact, something changed for her. It was a transient moment, it was opportunistic, but in touching the hem of Jesus' cloak, she changed. And in that second, Jesus also felt something. But the disciples argued the toss with him. Of course he felt something, they reasoned. They were in a crowd. They were being jostled by people on all sides. Yet this was different. Jesus felt something change in him. He sensed that the woman was there, then famously turning and spotting her in the chaos of the melee around them, Jesus acknowledged the woman's presence. So let me put these questions to you. Can we dare to believe that God is actually changed when we reach out in faith, in joy, in desperation, or with courage? Can we dare to believe that there, amongst the crowd, God is noticing our outstretched hand? Can we dare to believe that God feels our agony, or simply the reality of our circumstance, so acutely within his being that he cannot ignore our petition or our approach? Can we dare to believe that the faith that makes us well, to borrow Jesus' words, is a faith no more strong or certain than what it means to hang on by our fingernails? Yes, we can dare to believe it, because this is the reality of the faith we profess, the reality of the God we worship, the reality of the faith into which we were baptized. As we reach out in ordinary places and through ordinary means and things, the divine touches the human. And I would suggest the human changes the divine. Irrespective of our generation and our circumstances and our gender, this is the story of our relationship with God. We continue to reach out to God in the ways that are available to us in prayer and meditation and reflection and in song, and of course through our sacraments. And every time we reach out to God, God makes his power and his grace available to us. I think that this story personifies the place we all reach at some point or another, when somehow we reach the limit of all we can do under our own steam, and when there's no other option left than to lean on the power of someone greater, when there's nowhere else we'd rather be than to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Courage, grace, and hope, as relevant now as ever before. Thanks be to God.